is home.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning. This is Trish Clark. I'm filling in this morning for Gary and Linda, who are out of town for a couple days. And with me, I have a voice from the past. And the challenge here today is going to be seeing if Trish can get a word in edgewise while she co-hosts the show with Bob Meyer.
Yeah.
How are you this morning, Bob?
I'm great. Plus, Bob Meyer not in the KQMS newsroom this morning. And it's really nice. I owed Carl and Linda a favor anyway. I went to one of their birthday parties, and I ate a lot of shrimp and stuff, you know. So I love those guys. Hope they get back here in a couple of days. And Trish is going to be serious, and I'm just going to be me. So take it away.
Well, okay. Well, I don't know how serious we're going to be. We're just going to kind of try and find something that the listening audience out there this morning is interested in talking about. And Bob's going to reminisce a little bit about, you know, we have in our community an awful lot of people who have great histories, who have done a lot of things, a lot of interesting things, and Bob Meyer's one of them. He spent a tremendous amount of time in the radio industry, done all kinds of different talk shows and song shows and radio, whatever you call about it, DJ stuff, and is a veteran and very involved in the veterans issues around town, very involved in our sports. I remember years and years where he's broadcast the hometown football games, when all of the stations used to do that. And that was great, especially they were always down in Anderson and Central Valley and the different places. And, you know, we don't have a lot of that, I don't know, what is that camaraderie, Bob, that we used to share a lot of things, between the individuals and the radio stations. And we don't cover that kind of fun, folksy stuff anymore so much.
Well, you know, the industry's changed, and I've always been a big believer in local, and most companies that own radio stations want to be local, and I have confidence in the management of this particular station that down the road, you know, as the economy picks up, because those things cost money. You know, ask any business owner. You know, sometimes they think that communications and radio is not a business, and it is. You know, if people cut back. I had a full career as the Rock of the Northwest in the Northwest, Portland, Seattle, before I ever came here. I came here on a part-time job, May 1987, folks, and I was going to be here 6 months and beat feet out of this hot hellhole. It was 119 degrees 23 years ago or whatever. And they offered me a job in News Talk, which I'd never done. You know, and people don't realize that. I was retirement, and I was here for like 11 years, and it was a lot of fun, and it's just great to be sitting here again.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. Good morning. We're back, and we're with Free Fire Radio. This is Trish Clark filling in this morning for Carl and Linda, who are out of town, and my co-host this morning is Bob Meyer. You can make phone calls at 221-1402 if you'd like to join. And we're going to go to the phones right now. We have a call from Joan. Good morning, Joan.
Oh, good morning. I just wanted to say how wonderful it is to hear from Bob Meyer. I remember him from quite a few years ago. One time he was quite involved with putting together the cooking show that they put on over at Old Nova High School. And I remember going over there, and I saw this very sophisticated-looking gentleman in a belted-type raincoat with a hat, looking very... He just looked like he'd come from maybe Paris or New York or somewhere.
And here's where I have to shatter this poor woman. I'm going to admit now, I'm going to confess that we do all those kind of things, radio people especially,
yeah,
go to those kind of things for the reasons of covering the news and being responsible to the community. And if you believe that, they're there for the food. You know, you have a press conference and you have lunch for the reporters, and you have a press conference and you don't, right? You're in big trouble, you know. But I'll confess.
I do remember that catching my first glimpse because you were just setting up for the program, and I thought, wow, this is going to be a pretty fancy schmancy show.
Do you remember when we had Cal D. Mercurio come in and ostensibly cook on the air?
Yes, and people would bring you breakfast and all kinds of good munchies.
Whose idea do you think that was? It was me and Dean and Brett and Jerry, because we're going to eat this food Cal's cooking on our show.
Absolutely.
You know,
it was great.
Get a clue out there,
and everybody
folks
at home was sort of drooling and south.
Cal-D
but I
Mercurio
did want to tell you from all the do-gooders out here that you used to call everybody a bunch of do-gooders that were still out here, and we're just so happy to hear from you this morning.
Yeah,
thanks, Joan. That's fun.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Okay. See, you know, it's fun to start looking at memories and people from the past and things that Bob was involved in. We were talking earlier about the football games and the things that used to be covered online and Bob and they KQMS. George Newcomb was with you a lot, and you guys used to do those spots all over town covering different things like that.
Yeah, I was a right wing zealot in the whole bit, and people are going to be disappointed because over the last 11 years, I've mellowed out a little bit, you know. I'm still,
oh, wow.
I have. You know, there's more serious things out there than whatever I was getting into. You know, we got boys and girls, seriously, in deserts far away, being killed. Now, that's serious. I mean, that, you know, I need to focus on what's serious, right? And so be serious, Trish.
Okay. Well, cutting out, we have another phone call coming in, but just for a moment, I want to bring to everyone's attention, been a lot of a discussion over the last few weeks about the Reading Electric Utility, and they've got a commission going, and I don't want to get into all of that, and I certainly don't want to discuss that, but there was a thing brought up.
I sure would like to.
But there was a suggestion made at some point that the SHARE program needed to be expanded to, and that's where you go in and you round up on your utility bill if you live in the city of Reading. And there was a suggestion that be expanded so that it cover everyone in the community. And right now those funds go strictly to seniors. And I went to that meeting the other day, and I want to remind people how successful that program has been, the Power to Seniors program. We do a big fundraiser in October, which makes up a good share of the funds, plus those share funds. And through the years, since 2001, we have actually helped 9,478 seniors in Shasta County get past their utility problems because of this program. So I talked to that commission, and I want to just remind everybody that does live in the city of Reading, if you have a little extra change when you pay your utility bill, to please do round up. And that money does go directly to the Golden Umbrella, where it's administrated for the Power to Seniors program for low-income seniors throughout Shasta County. So I just wanted to throw that pitch in. And now we're going to go to the phone lines and talk to Kelly.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning, Kelly.
Hey, Bob, I just wanted to call and make sure you were taking good care of my son over there.
Yeah, I got these people pinned down. Trish, I've known, because my first assignment here was to cover the city of Anderson. He said, go to the city council meeting. I started for Reading, and John Erdl was the news director. He said, whoa. Who said Reading? You're going to Anderson. Where I met Trish Clark, who was a city council person out there, and eventually the mayor, and became the chairman of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, and she downplays who she is. But, you know, this county, I mean, would really be in trouble, I think, over the last few years if Trish hadn't been involved. So I'm telling you folks, 99 cents is the worst you can get ripped off on whatever this Golden Umbrella, right? Round up.
Yeah.
The worst that can happen is 99 cents.
But Bob, I just want to know if you remember your first night on the air at KPAC.
We were just talking about that. I said, I don't know who was managing there. I was temporary, but Kelly was young and wanted to make sure he looked good and wanted to
show. Yeah, and that's the night my son was born, right, and now who's producing your show today?
I know, he's trying to change. My son's being born. I'll do the next shift. And I said, Kelly, you know, what about my hour car? I said, fill out your hours and get out of here, right? You know, you're having a kid, man. Get out of here. So, and I tried to, what is it? I tried to talk you into naming him. This kid is so lucky to sit about 3 feet from him. He has no idea. What was I on you for? To name him what? What was it? What, you know?
Probably Robert or
no,
Bob, something
Jack.
Like that.
Remember, I was on Jack Frost.
Oh, Jack Frost.
Right, all the time. I said, name him Jack, Kelly. So
I could have named him Bud Foster.
I think it's pretty cool that he's sitting here now. I mean, who would have thought when he was born, right? I guess I should have, because Kelly's one of those people that you don't know anything about radio, do you?
Not really,
you'd,
no.
You'd be,
and now my son's the same way.
Yeah, you'd be under the bridge with a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I see that. You know, I'll work him over if I get a chance. You know, I know he thinks he's got it together, right?
Well, it's good to hear you and Trish.
Okay. Hey, good to hear from you,
thanks
too,
for calling, Kelly. If anyone like to join our little trip down memory lane here at 221-1402, please join in and give us a call. So, Bob, share some other experiences with us about the things that – what are you doing now?
Well, first, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about is I'm looking at the city of Reading, and when I first moved here, as I was telling you, my daughter went to Nova here, and we talked a little bit about that, and I transferred her to Anderson because my job ran into the school year, and I had my daughter custody me up, my daughter, and she was a ninth grader, and so I sent her to Anderson where they had a freshman program, and I'm always glad I didn't. She always remembers Anderson High School. I want to talk about Anderson just for a few seconds. Nobody ever talks about Anderson. Bob, why are you talking about Anderson? Because when I drive through Anderson, I see the factory outlets. I see the Walmart. I see the drug-infested apartments torn down. I see street improvement. I see a good high school. And it's a small town, but they turned a profit, I think. There was no big sex scandal. They had a little city council thing out there. But Trish Clark has probably been the backbone of all of that over the last 20 years. And, you know, I'm really proud of what you did in Anderson. I mean, it's really been, I mean, turned around, you know, so people can visibly see how turned around it is down there. And I hope Reading takes a page out of Anderson's book sometime instead of vice versa.
Well, we'll get back to Anderson in just a moment. We're going to take a break, and we'll see you on the other side. Okay, we're back, and we've got some phone calls, so we're going to go right to the phone. If you'd like to call in, it's 221-1402, and we're going to talk with Leroy. Good morning, Leroy.
Good morning, Trish and Bob.
Hi.
Hey, I remember going to Board of Supervisors meetings and participating and talking to Trish. And, Bob, I remember when you and Randy were announcing the Veterans Day Parade in Shasta Lake City a few years ago.
Wow, you go way back.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was chairman of that for a few years, and I remember you being on there a lot. And I've often wondered what you were doing, and now I'm finding out.
Well, from the bottom of my heart, on my calendar, and my wife will tell you this, if there's only one thing I did the whole year and the rest of the time I had to go in the closet, and maybe it's my ego or whatever, but I was going to do that parade because I had done it for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, and people say, well, if it rains and nobody comes, and I said, well, if only one veteran marches down the middle of the street down Shasta Lake for 3 miles, I will announce him. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, so.
And that's true. He did.
You know, when we started that parade, it started out real small, and it has really developed into quite a parade.
Funny, when I looked up on the stand, I'm now looking at it right now, I'm going, damn, Trish, you follow me around everywhere. Because Trish was, you know, very, very supportive of veterans and was always there.
Right,
know,
right. And you know, she was either on the stand or in the parade somewhere.
Did you think that she was maybe a victim of the myth? I might not get into it today, but as a conservative, the myth of the glass ceiling. I'm going to just give people my opinion because that's what I get paid on this show. I get 2 or 3 minutes just to talk about whatever I want to. That's all the money. And I'm going to talk about the glass curtain because I do a lot of sports and I see a lot of girls and, you know, I don't know if there's a glass curtain out there anymore, but did you think Trish Clark was glass curtain, chairman of the board of supervisors. Nancy Buffum was mayor. Isaac Lowe.
No,
do you think Isaac Lowe is glass ceilinged? I've worked for women, you know, managers the whole time I've been here. I'm going to talk about that.
You know. A while ago, you mentioned people that have made history in the county.
Yeah.
Somebody we don't hear much of anymore is Mr. K. Maurice Johansson.
Mojo.
Yeah.
Mojo, you know, he had a personality. I loved him. You can think what you want, but the guy had something down deep inside of him called guts. I know what happened to him in Sacramento.
Yep.
And you know what? He just wanted to come back home here. I mean, he went down there to you know, He was the type of guy who believed in the lie, right, that they're down there to run Calvin. Yeah. And he went down there to do his part. And same with Tom. When he came back, he went, you know, I just want to come home. I mean, you know, it was, I don't know, he was brave. He stood up for us, but he didn't need to do that. Maurice has got, you know, his fixed financially, you know, and he didn't need to go down there and do that.
No, and another person, too, was Molly Wilson.
Oh, I love Molly. Yeah, was she Glass Curtain? Let's talk about Glass Curtain. Molly, are you threatened by men? She was one tough lady. I loved her and her soup and her soup kitchen, you know.
Yeah, and she was like Maurice. If they got on the trail or something, they never give up till they got their job done.
No, they didn't. And so I just remember when three women were on the Board of Supervisors, the majority. Nancy Buffum was mayor. Isaac Lowe was around. And I'm going, Glass Curtain? The majority of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, the city of Reading, and at this situation now, when I look up, there's a certain redhead walking around in here somewhere.
Yeah.
And I've been gone for 11 years, and I come back, and now she's the boss of me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So,
and on that note, Leroy, we're going to have to go and take a break because we got the news coming up, and we'll be back on the other side. ABC News. Okay, we're back, and this is Trish Clark. We're sitting in this morning for Carl and Linda Bott, and my co-host is Bob Meyer. I invite you to call at 221-1402 if you have something you'd like to add to our conversation, or otherwise you just have to listen to anything Bob and I want to talk about. One of the issues that's been in the news recently that's I'd like people's opinions about, and if you've got any thoughts about, is the new location for the new courthouse. There seems to be some proposals having been made that would change it from its downtown location, which it has some problems, just because there's not a lot of space there. The county doesn't, in fact, own all of the land that would be required, so there's quite a bit of money involved. And I think there were a couple of other locations in the city of Reading, and then the city of Anderson has made a proposal to put it down near the Gaia Hotel down in Anderson, and that's kind of thought-provoking. I know they've put a pretty good package together. If there's anyone out there that has thoughts on why they think this would be good or why they think it wouldn't, give us a call and let us know. We do have a couple of calls coming in. What do you think, Bob? What about a county courthouse down in the city of Anderson?
Why not? District fair's there. Well, what a can of worms. Because, come on, Chris, most of the court activity, let's do this. Let's find out how many people from Anderson use the current courthouse and facilities. You see what I'm saying, you know.
Well, I would venture to say that if you look at where the judges live and you look at where the attorneys live, they don't all live in the city of Reading. We'll continue this discussion in just a minute. We're going to go to the lines and go to Ken from Owner Builder. Good morning, Ken.
Hi, Trish. Hi, Bob. Hey, what a beautiful morning.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, you're talking about radio and business. I'll tell you what. Through KQMF, what we've done for the construction industry up here has just been a boon over the last 3 years.
Oh, I know. You know, Ken, I know that's true, and I think it's important to note that some of those opportunities that you let the people know about with the construction business down, now is a perfect time to be out there and doing all kinds of smaller jobs and remodels and those kinds of things to keep you in your home. And people are deciding, I think, that rather than moving to a different house in this market, that construction and upgrading is a good thing to do. And certainly you've helped that along the way with your show.
Oh, absolutely. There is disaster education. There's green building awareness. I mean, you got fantastic sponsors like Sylvia Pacific Crest Granite. Excellent contractors, licensed, bonded, insured general contractors that do just phenomenal work.
Yeah, they do, and you certainly have the opportunity to point that out. And thanks for calling and reminding us of that.
It's a pleasure. Have a great day.
Same to you. Okay, we're going to go to CT on line two. Good morning, CT.
Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
I was going to see if you guys could discuss a little bit about why the Shasta County and Anderson and some of the others haven't taken advantage of the biomass plants that produce electricity in our area. And also, in regard to the stimulus and so forth, putting people to work. Up here, we have all kinds of resources. We have the water. We have timber. We have recreation. We have all these things, but I don't see anybody taking advantage of these things.
CT, I'm not following, because the city of Anderson is under PG&E. Did a considerable amount. I mean, I can speak to what I know about what the city of Anderson has done, but they did a considerable amount of investigation into changing the way they get electricity for the city of Anderson, but they're pretty much tied into PG&E. Now, we do have Wheelabrator down there, that's the cogeneration plant, and they do produce electricity, but it's put into the system the way the state regulates electricity.
Well, what I'm saying is, though, we have these resources. We can put people to work. And we have the forests that are burning up. They need to be cleaned up. And we have this source available to make electricity and also to put people to work.
But CT, you have to understand that all of that, that we've tried for years to get out into the forest and do those kinds of projects. And every time you get in, I mean, the Quincy Library Group is a perfect example of legislation that was targeted to do just what you're talking about. And every time they tried to do something, there was another challenge by another group that stopped it, put it in the courts. And the Quincy Library Group didn't accomplish a fifth of what they were legislated to accomplish in their period, and it didn't have anything to do with the local communities trying to do these things. It
You almost stepped on that owl. Back up a little bit there.
There you go. There you go. And well, so, CT, certainly you make a good point, but you're singing to the wrong choir. You need to be talking to the state and federal government to let us do these projects on the ground.
Well, you know what? We have talked to it for years and years, but
they're not listening, are they?
You owl.
Well, somebody
murderer,
is not listening,
you.
Yes.
Yeah. Appreciate the call,
I don't know
CT.
How we get it going, but like I say, we have the resources up here to do whatever, you know, we do to make the jobs. And somehow nobody is doing anything.
Well, we absolutely do, and we need to get that message across to the federal government to let us do it. We're going to go to the phone again to Tom. And he wants to talk about
boy.
The courthouse.
Sure
how
I'd
are you?
I follow up on that last caller, but because I agree with him, but I wanted to ask a little bit about this new courthouse or justice center or something. What was the price tag on that again?
I'm thinking something like $14 million.
Well, where in the world would I hear this? I don't think I dreamed this. $200 million. What was that for?
Wow, I don't know.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you something
right now. $14 million. Well, that sounds a little more down to earth. But they just got two buildings. A new courthouse for all the other county offices. The courts took over the whole old courthouse. What in the world do they need a new one now?
Well, let me tell you, why they need an old one is the one I'm thinking about. Where's the wrecking ball? I guess somebody wants to keep the one we have. I say level that. Level it. Get rid of it. It's a horrendous. It's a disaster. It's,
why is that?
It just is. If you got the money to build a new one, if you don't, so what? But if somebody gives me the money to build a brand new corner, I'm demolishing that thing and I'm building a brand new one right where it is. That solves everything.
Well, what do you do?
I mean, there in a minute, it's right here. It's going to be right exactly where it is. How hard can that be?
But Bob, the problem is, you have to relocate.
What is wrong with the existing courthouse? I mean,
have you been to it? Have you been in it?
Well,
I've been going there all the time.
Okay,
we're in a period of austerity here. Government revenues are dropping. It's no time to build a courthouse.
It's so dark.
They got enough room over there.
Tom, let me just point out. This is a decision that has been made by the state that they need to fund new courthouses. The timing obviously is not great. The money has been appropriated, and they have determined they need a new courthouse. Now, that's a state decision, and while we certainly can continue to have input into it, there is the issue with that courthouse is there isn't enough room. We need more courts.
Hold on 1 minute. What did they do before all the other county offices went out of there and they were all in one building? Now the court's got the whole building. Is it grown to that point that is not even enough space?
Well, there wasn't
after they're in, you know.
Well, Tom, it was built, there was like 20,000 people, and now there's 100,000, it says on the sign, but that really means there's about 130,000.
Okay, we're going to continue this on the other side. We're going to take a break. Okay, welcome back, and we've got a lively conversation going here, and we're going to go right back to the phones, and anyone else who'd like to call in, the number is 221-1402, and we're going to talk to Liz. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. How about you?
Oh, I'm okay. I have a question. I was just wondering when the people of the County of Shasta were going to stop sitting around and complaining about the money that they're spending on a courthouse and beautification projects such as Hilltop, where useless palm trees are going to be already been put in, and focusing more on bringing industries into this area besides retail.
Boy, good question, and I certainly agree with you.
And maybe a four-year university.
But we certainly cannot, and we've learned that when sales tax starts to dive, and we have no middle class in this community because we have no factory jobs, we have no industry jobs, we've got retail and healthcare.
Retail and restaurant and healthcare.
I agree with you.
Not necessarily in that order.
I agree with you 100%. And the thing about the service economy is you have to have somebody to service. You have to have guys that are, you know, making $30, $35 an hour at the factory instead of all the $8 and 10 cent people are going to go shop at your store where you make a dollar. Well, what's going to happen eventually? You know, you have to have some jobs for a middle class. You're absolutely right, Trish.
Well, and the interesting thing is that corporations and manufacturing places go to communities that have amenities. And so the amenities that they put in, like the new buildings and a new courthouse in Shasta County and those things, show
all
that
the
you're
new buildings,
the new
like
library,
all the empty buildings that are popping up all over the place.
That's certainly not helping.
Why we don't have a vibrant downtown, they're always saying, is because we don't have the vibrant demographics here. I mean, everybody that fits the demographics, they're downtown, you know, but think about it. We don't have the young urban whatever that you would have. So I agree with you 100%. We're missing something. We're missing all those timber jobs we used to have. We're missing tourism because people don't have the money to come through here. And service economy, I won't go into it now, but translate it right to the economic disaster going on in this country right now. A whole bunch of stuff on paper, and when it came time to put up something real that you could hold in your hand, a house, a car, or whatever, it wasn't there.
And it's really good point, Liz. Thanks for calling.
Good point.
We're going to go to the line two. Kim, good morning.
Well, good morning, Trish, and good morning, Bob Meyer.
Hi.
This is Kim Chamberlain.
Kim, I love you.
I love
you,
too.
I haven't got into
it. Hey,
funny you're listening because not today, but tomorrow, I'm holding it off. My 3 minutes will be about Jerry Q. McGee, who I still feel his ghost here. I've been gone for 11 years. Jerry's been gone now. But, I mean, Jerry was so much an essence of the wall here. And Jerry never, you know, we all cried about Vietnam and how horrible it was. And Jerry's real quiet, and I had to pry it out of him. I mean, it was like 2 years before I pried out of him that he was even a veteran. He was a Korean War veteran, and he was a decorated Korean War veteran. And he told me privately in some stuff, and now that, you know, he's gone, he can't do anything to me, Jerry. I'll relate some of the stories out of Korea that I got. And you got out of Korea. I always say you got out under the barbed wire with bullets flying towards your posterior, young lady. So,
well, I went through that war.
Yeah. I'm going to do my 5 minutes on Korea, on the South Korean Army, and me in Vietnam, and all our allies in this whole damn world. And I say it all the time, is South Korea. We came over, helped them in a tough situation, and unlike other countries, they have always been steadfast, and they fought well in Vietnam, and they were very proud people. And I'll tell you what, any Vietnam veterans out there, listen to me. If you can send a unit in front of you and they want to go and you got to pick from anyone in the whole world, do you tell me who you're going to send out there? Even Kleckner is going to send the proud veterans out of South Korea. So, Kim, be listening because you're on my mind whenever I talk about that and that ugly war. And wars are ugly, and we can all learn lessons from that.
Okay.
Plus, I own a Korean car now. Love you.
All right, Kim, so tell us what you called about.
Well, I called about because the courthouse site issue. And when I hear you and Bob, and just I go, wow, there's my friend.
Right, it's too much for it.
And but and also I want to talk about courthouse site. Why not in Anderson?
I don't care. Okay, I'm gonna die. I'll go out the door now because there's a lot of money and a lot of. I mean, I don't care if it's in Anderson. I hope to God I don't have to go there for any criminal.
Why?
Anything.
It's 10 miles, Bob.
Okay, I'll make a deal right now. Put the courthouse in Anderson, and put an annex in Redding.
There's no annex in Anderson.
That's right. And it's a proposed cost.
But wait a minute.
It's
10, there's 10,000 people.
On
come on. I love Anderson, but there's 10,000 people. There's 100,000 people here. Get a clue. People.
Why not? We have I-5 access. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
Actually, it's better to.
Let's crowd I-5 for no
I-5
reason.
Than going to the courthouse. I'm going through like a. From 273 or go through the I-5. Then I have to go through downtown Redding. Those traffic and stoplight. Actually, it is a very short time to reach the court.
Wait.
That taking place in Anderson.
Aren't they talking about a widening project out down that way, Anderson, Tama County, and the freeway, and they're going to get extra money, and they got to widen it because of the traffic and everything. And now, you folks are talking about some traffic that's not even there now.
Typical Ray reaction.
No, listen, no, wait. I'm not defending Redding. I don't care. I'm as Shasta County as anybody. I just said I love Anderson. If the courthouse is in Anderson, I get in my car and I go to the courthouse in Anderson.
Yeah.
But I'd be not
and
happy about
it.
You can visit all our retail shops down there at the same time. We're going to have to take a break, and we got another call calling. Thanks,
okay,
Kim.
Okay, have a great day, you guys.
All right.
Okay, we're back, and we've got about 5 minutes to close up. This is Trish Clark, and we're sitting in for Carl and Linda today and with Bob Meyer. We've got three calls on the line, one gal who's been waiting a long time, so we're going to quickly try to let everybody have what they want to say, and then if we can't respond, we can do that tomorrow because Bob and I are going to be here again tomorrow. So, Helen, you've been waiting a long time.
If the creeks don't rise, Chris.
Helen?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Trish and Bob, for your program this morning, and a couple of phone calls ago, they were talking about industry here in our local area.
Mm-hmm.
And now with our water situation, which I thank Wally Herger for trying to do something about this, because I really want to educate the people a little bit in our area. We have a small farm. We have sold Asian pears since 1990, and we're also selling goats. But with this farm situation, we've had zero ag water until March 20th. Then they upped us to 5%. We're barely getting by with the public health and safety water that we've been getting.
We're running out of time. Will you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Funny, I can go right up your alley here.
Yeah.
Tomorrow on this very program, early on, I will have a gentleman with a familiar voice who resides part-time in Washington, D.C., and is on the Ways and Means Committee for Congress. And he's from around here. I can't quite remember what his name is or whatever. But what's the congressman's name?
Yeah, we're going to take that issue up with
tomorrow.
Walter Herger tomorrow.
He's going to be on. But listen, it's just because me and him are going to shoot the breeze so I can impress everybody how I'm buddies with a congressman. because he's got stuff to do, and it's not going to be him on the show to take calls, but I'm going to take two or three calls. Be there with your water thing tomorrow morning.
Oh, I will, and appreciate that.
Right. Okay, thanks, Helen. We're going to go quickly to the phone to Chris, and just very quickly so we can get the other call in, too. Chris, thanks for waiting.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I'll make this quick because I see we're running short on time, but a gentleman called in about five or six people ago there. A couple of questions he didn't get answered for him is What is the cost of the new courthouse? Do you have a cost?
Do you know, and I don't, but I'll have that for you tomorrow. I thought I heard $14 million, but I'm just reading the newspaper, and I'm not really involved in it. I'm just commenting.
Let me throw some money around. $14 million, $100 million, $200 billion. What's the difference?
What's that?
What, $14 million, $80 billion, $400 million? Do you read the papers lately, all the money?
No, I'm not mad at you.
I'm just saying.
Right there.
I'm just saying.
You said that.
Is it $14 million or $28 million?
Because
$100 million?
What's the difference?
Right, well, what's the difference? Somebody tell me.
The difference is that we have to pay for it.
One way or the other.
You're right.
I'm saying the money's inflated.
Okay,
I'm making a joke about the money.
Okay. But one other question that didn't get resolved is I heard you say, tell me what's wrong with the courthouse that we have.
Well, the courthouse that we have is outdated. It does not have enough room for the courts that are needed for this population and the new judges that will be named. And it does not have the security things that the state requires, and there's no way to build them into that facility.
Oh, that was so nice of how you said that, Trish. Let me say, it's a dilapidated wreck. It's a dump. It needs to go. That's
okay.
What, you know.
We're going to continue this conversation tomorrow and talk more about it, Chris. And so I thank you for calling. We have one more call. I don't want to leave, and we'll go to Charles. Well, welcome, Charles, and thanks for waiting.
Yeah, finally got through without running into a busy signal.
Okay, yeah, and make it quick because we're out of time.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, one thing to consider when contemplating a location for the courthouse is how much extra money it's going to cost all the, you know, the DAs and the probationers and the jail people, the sheriffs especially, hauling jail people back and forth between here and Anderson, here in Cottonwood or here in.
Well, that certainly is part of the consideration.
That's not going to come out of the state's coffers.
That's right.
That's going to come out of yours and my coffers.
Well, it comes out of the county money, but recognize the state coffers is your pocket too. But also recognize there's another issue out there that may make all that moot, because we're going to have a new jail, and they're talking about Clear Creek or down on west. Down next to the social services complex, so you'd be moving jails or prisoners anyway.
Where's my checkbook? Where's my checkbook? Let me buy you a check for $100 million.
And we're going to take this conversation up tomorrow. This is Trish Clark and Bob Meyer. Thank you for joining us. And we'll see you tomorrow on the Free Fire Radio.
I'll give you $100 billion.
Thanks for joining us.
All right.